something. And but there were a lot of things went on in the village, but mainly it was really just helping Mum about the place, and gardening, and she planted lots of blackcurrant bushes and things for picking fruit for war effort, and we were sort of self-sufficient in veg and that, and then with the pony we had manure for putting on the garden. But at the beginning of the war I had budgies, two budgies in a cage. But sadly, you couldn't get the right sort of seed for them. You could get seed which did for canary-type birds because they eat like chaffinches and things, finches. But the budgies couldn't cope. And I tried drying the flower heads on rushes and things like that, but I lost both of them. It was sad, I couldn't do that. But because when I was much smaller, I had rabbits, two rabbits. But no, it was really... one made one's own sort of entertainment, and the wireless. Dick Barton, special agent, Tommy Handley, yes, and Itma, battery wireless, but the telephone. We were on a party line with the distillery, and there was one ring for one person, and then two. We were three rings, and then four rings, I think, was Mrs. Hoare down the road. And you had to sort of count, and then be very careful, and then quickly lifting the phone to see if somebody was talking and not listen, and put it down, because if you were wanting them, because Mum used to want to ring her mum just to find out how things were in Bewley.
People could listen in to your conversation.
Yes, they could do if they was. And
yes,
and because at the post office here there was a port which you plugged in things, and Mrs. Ross used to do that. Because I remember much later on, when we were staying and the children were small, they'd learnt that it was exciting, because if you lifted the thing, a nice lady's voice said, "Number, please." And then, of course, the child was chatting. Mrs. Ross, desperate to get rid of this interruption, other people couldn't get through. So anyway, Mum kept an eye on for what they were up to. But that was one clue.
I didn't know they had a phone exchange here.
Yes, in the post office.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm. It was a board, yes. Mm. And the station was great fun. We used to take shortcuts through the station to get down to the heights. It was wonderful. Levers for pulling for the signals and things. And then the tablet on the arm for the signals, the signalman.
Yes.
And then there was a sort of board with all the cardboard tickets with the different names of the different places.
Who was the station master there?
Well, the one I remember best was Mr. Smith.
Smith.
But I can't remember the one before, because the one before was the captain of the curling team. The curling rink, which of course was quite near. No, the trains were a mystery, because sometimes there used to be wartime things going up, and some of them had canvas tarpaulins over them. And I remember one time one of the Hall boys looked up the and it was mines run with spikes on, and we were going up to Scarborough Flow. We weren't supposed to know about those sort of things. There used to be chocolate machines, prize chocolate, a penny in, and a little bar came out. And I think everybody thought, maybe people didn't realize when the senior rationing was at its worst.
It was a lovely fiery,
wasn't it? Oh, yes, it was always banged halfway up the chimney. And everybody crowded into the station master's office, and he had a great big desk which he used to sit at, do you remember? on a tall sort of stool. But another, because, well, outlets, say, there was McDougall stores which sold everything, and ration books, and trying to work out what, because you had your butter, your sugar, and things, but, and then you had what were called points for anything in tins and biscuits, and you had to decide whether you wanted a tin of sardines or a tin of Spam or something like that. And sweeties were very few and far between. You should try and choose something like marshmallows because they were light, and so you got as many as you could. But the chocolate machines at the station, I think they were almost pulled off the wall at the end if anybody's looking for a last bar of chocolate. And then another place which was fun to go to was called the Bicycle Shop. And that was down on the opposite side of the road from where Juniper Drive goes up. And it was run by the Mackenzie brothers. And you could buy batteries there. And you could buy puncture repair outfits. And they could fix a chain that kept falling off. And all the jars which had sweeties in, they just had the coloured pictures of what used to be in them. But one could buy sweeties there, sometimes bicycling from there back to Cottage Free. The little poke was empty. but that was a very useful outlet. And they were always very obliging.
Yes.
When it came to buying from the farms, you didn't need coupons for the farm?
No.
Produce?
No.
Eggs you could buy if they had them?
Yes. Yes, I think so. We used to get them from the Heights, Smithfield. In the autumn, Mum had a licence to... For there was a family who lived at Dalmigavy Lodge, name of Christy Miller, and they had Storking. And was it Beaton or Kennedy?
Callum Beaton was a keeper.
Yeah, and Mum used to bicycle up there and do bed and breakfast with dear old Miss Kathleen Mackenzie at Glencairnachie. And Mum used to stalk, and she because they liked to cull 10 stags in a season. And they decided, and it was a case of sacking and sort of sewing these bloody parcels up and getting them down to the station and things. I don't know quite where they went, probably maybe Butchers in Inverness or things, because Mum used to get a haunch as a thank you.
So that they were carted from up there, Dalmigavy to the station.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Michael Fraser, who used to be at the at Ard, his Dave brother was the main farmer, and they had the fields behind the shop, and they used to have to drive them down past Michael's house now, across the road and up to the steading, where the shop is now. And then Tommy was the local coal merchant, and he had you got your ration of coal or anthracite or whatever from him, and he was also the sort of carrier, and so if people were moving house or anything like that, he had a lorry. Yes. Of course, Mrs. Ross, when I first remember, it was a Miss Ross was the postmistress, and one had to go down all of 7 and 6 pence. You had to buy a dog licence in those days. And I'm not sure we didn't have that once. Or did that come later? And then Craig Lee, where Cliff lives, that was the nurse's house. District nurse had a bicycle, and she had a slate which was propped up by her door, and so that if you needed the nurse, she used to write where she could be found. or if you had a message you left.
Got loose with
these shoe horses. Oh, yes, and I remember Mam. Mam also was a blacksmith.
The smithy.
The smithy was just on the same... You went up the track as if you were going to Diana's, and on the left-hand side there's a sort of flat bit, and that was where the smithy was.
Oh, that's gone now.
And all the farms had cart horses, and then there were the garrons for bringing the deer down off the hill, because in those days there weren't ATVs and things, and it was all very different. And I used to take my pony up. She wasn't shod, but she had to have her hooves trimmed every now and again. And she was so small, she could have gone underneath the tummy of the big cart horses when we were waiting. She was small, but a bundle of energy. And then latterly, Nurse got a car, but it must have been long after the war. And she had her garage was down at Meg's garden is. So poor nurse in a blizzard and having a kind of confinement up the glen or something. She was soaked before she got to her car. But I can't remember names of the nurses. Yeah.